Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Now, of course, there's a lot that's been happening within the news flow, largely that also impacts the dynamics that we've seen of state-owned entities in South Africa. A conversation that will likely be featured on Point of View, but we'll also refresh on it later this week, is one that really speaks to the ongoing activity that we see at Transnet. Now, typically, you'd be well aware that when we talk about certain companies, the likes of Exxaro and many others, who actually published an update today in the mining fraternity, we talk about the concerns around Transnet and its freight rail logistics in particular. Now, there's no secret that Transnet was deeply implicated within the state capture report. And from what we understand today, there has been at least an arrest and, of course, appearance within the Specialized Commercial Crimes Court of former CEO of Transnet, Brian Molefe, and Siyabonga Gama, including the former CFO, to provide further detail and, of course, be held accountable for the action and payments that they made to what is said to be a Gupta-linked company, Trillion, back in 2016, I believe. So it is the criminal side of business stories that we will get into later on this week, just to find out. The wheels of justice appear to be turning. They might turn slowly, but how accountability does to continue need to be prioritized in a market like South Africa.
Say what you're thinking.
WhatsApp Google it on 4P
0636880959.
On the street, on the air.
It's the 30th of June, 2025. What your experience of the year has felt like, especially when you reflect on the market performance. I think a lot of us would just sigh and say, what a ride, and it's only the first half this far. So tonight we thought it best to take a review of the markets and equity performance, including the political factors that have influenced these outcomes in the last 6 months, as we take a look at 2025 in review. So far, we'll be joined on the line by Meryl Pick, Head of Equities Research at Old Mutual Investment Group. Meryl, such a pleasure to speak to you again, ma'am. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, and good evening to you and good evening to your listeners. I hope you can hear me.
Loud and clear. Thank you so much for making time to speak to us today. The last time we touched base, we were in the throes of a trade war, ongoing uncertainty around Donald Trump and his policies, the influence that they had on the market sell-off in April. And look at us now. Seems like nothing even happened. So that's just one aspect of the last 6 months. But if you had to characterize the equities performance in the first half of 2024, how would you describe it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a phenomenal year so far. And I think in the session in April, I remember talking about remaining invested because the short-term kind of blips and market crash, it can never quite predict how they're going to recover. Remain invested and perhaps reposition. If you had take off, you wouldn't have told the difference.
Oh, wow.
when you look at the market chart, certainly for the JSE, we have this sharp, very V-shaped blip of just over 2 weeks, and you know then it starts to recover. The same is true for the US market, but actually for various reasons this year so far in dollars, the capped SWIX all share of the JSE is actually outperforming the S&P 500, in the U.S. by quite a margin.
Again, maybe let the U.S. just a little further, right? Because it really has been a catalyst to much of the volatility we've seen on equities and even on the local front. I hate to say it, but is it all to do with Donald Trump as one man and just his influence on the political environment?
Yeah, I think he is a catalyst, probably for structural changes that have been brewing under the surface for years. He is bringing the market's attention to the high level of debt in the U.S., government debt, which they owe at a point in time that interest rates are starting to normalize. So much like we have our own problems passing a budget,
I think yeah, exactly. will get...
But for different reasons. Yeah, for different reasons. They're not really spared, you know, that, because Congress at this point in time is trying to debate how much debt is actually too much debt. And does the U.S. need to swallow its own bitter medicine as well as a country in terms of belt tightening? Because a lot of the spending and the programs at the same time as doing tax cuts, this has come for the last, you know, it's coming on since Donald Trump's previous term.
Yes.
Because some of those policies he put into motion. And all it means is ultimately they have been living beyond their means as a country, and this has led to a lot of debt. Now the question is how to deal with that, because interest rates have normalized, and that interest bill is now higher than the defense, you know, and military spend bill, which is clearly unsustainable. So I think Donald Trump and his policies are quite extreme, often in the first draft, very extreme, but they are calling attention to trying to solve these structural problems that have been underlying for some time.
Mm. And I'm glad that you highlighted, because essentially there's still ongoing concern that the U.S. economy itself might not be that resilient or even competitive, which I guess us as an emerging makes us feel like we you know, comfortable, or at least helps us know that we're not the only ones with some challenges. But geopolitical risks are also everywhere, Meryl. Just last week as well, Israel and Iraq, the contentious issues there, and the U.S. getting involved, and now a ceasefire, and it seems like nothing happened just in a matter of days. Russia and Ukraine still continues, among many other crises that we see right across the global spectrum. So help us, you know, at Old Mutual, when you review this and you take a look at, you know, some of the outcomes and noise in the market, especially on the geopolitical front, which stand out for you, and do you shift your positioning in terms of your portfolio positioning at all?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a very natural question. I think we try to look at what can we take out of the day-to-day news and pull out the long-term patterns, right? And then try to position for that. You know, you cannot position too strongly for some of these outcomes and events, because they are often quite binary. You know, probably people expected a ceasefire very quickly after Russia invaded Ukraine, and yet 3 years later, here we are. So similarly, we would hope from a humanitarian perspective that the ceasefire holds in the Middle East, but you never quite know. But what we do see is that compared to previous decades, there's a ratcheting up of geopolitical tensions.
Yep.
And that doesn't seem to be a trend, you know, that is going away. So whether the news today says Israel or Iran, whether tomorrow it says India and Pakistan, whether the next day it says China and Taiwan, there's a pattern here.
Yes.
Of more frequent conflict between nations of that post-World War II, sort of broad peace agreement, and many of the agreements that were underwritten by United Nations and the G7 and NATO around that peace equals prosperity. That feels like it is starting to crack. And what we have seen, for example, Europe, just last week, many European nations that are part of NATO have agreed to target by 2030 to start to spend 5% of GDP on defense spending. That is going to have consequences. Mm. And then it's our job to work out, you know, which industries are going to be favored, which countries are going to be favored in terms of growth, and which will not.
Yes.
It certainly raises the risk of volatility, and I think that might end up being part of the reason why commodities as a whole have done very well so far this year.
Yes.
Because in times of doubt, the one thing you can flock to is real assets.
100%. It's like you knew where my mind is headed with this one, right? Because we have certainly seen a significant rally in commodities, specifically gold and the PGMs, platinum group metals. And I'm intrigued. You know, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but as an investment professional, you've probably seen the cycles. And yes, I can imagine clients typically ask you, where are we in the cycle? What does that mean for the exposure that you might have on resource companies? And if that's also playing an influence in your investment strategy?
Yeah, I think some of these things are, you know, the classic saying of mosaic theory.
Yeah.
And you just try to read the tea leaves. There is no crystal ball, but you can look at pieces of the puzzle and make an assessment about where do the probabilities lie. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that we've been noting and positioning for is that many commodities across the board have seen underinvestment for various reasons. It's better capital discipline on the part of mining companies. It's becoming harder to get you know, environmental permitting through, whether it's not believing in the future demand for commodities such as oil or coal, or PGMs for that matter.
Yep.
But for various reasons, we've seen many commodities across the board just seeing underinvestment. And that's a positive tick, because eventually without investment, supply runs out, no matter the how dire the demand for a commodity might seem. If supply falls faster, commodity price can still be strong. So we've seen that as a positive tick. The need for the world to transition because of climate change comes with demand for some commodities like copper. And this most recent push for the world to onshore, bring production home, almost have a bit of spare capacity, being more positive than relying on, say, a China for all your supply.
Mm-hmm.
And the most recent development of the European nations saying we're going to actually rearm and reinvest in defense equipment. These things are all actually positive trends for various commodities at a time when we're coming off a decade of underinvestment. So we've seen a long-term structural bullish picture emerge here for commodities across the board. I think year to date, the standout winners have been the precious metals. Gold is up 25%. Platinum is up 50%.
And I think that's in the last 6 months. That's a big number.
Up 50%. Palladium is up 27%. And South Africa produces these, right?
Yes.
We have the biggest natural endowment of platinum in the world. In some ways, we might find all the commodity-producing countries being beneficiaries, spillover beneficiaries of this. South Africa, Brazil, you know, high among them.
Yes.
And I think it's a mix of investors, both individual and institutional investors, looking for a good store of value in which to place assets. And with the PGM story in particular, we think it's a result of the electric vehicle rollout just proving quite challenging in Europe, because it's starting to have consequences, negative consequences for the European auto production sector, which, as we know, is a big staple in the economy there.
Got you. Meryl, I can imagine there's so much more that we can deep dive into just in terms of the last 6 months and some of the outcomes that you're witnessing. But I can imagine yourself and your team are still going to collate these numbers and make it practical for us as clients. But thank you as always for your time. And more than anything, all the best for the rest of the year ahead, because if the last 6 months are anything to go by, sure, we're still in for quite a ride then for 2025. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much.
Meryl Pick, Head of Equities Research at Old Mutual Investment Group. Those are all the smart individuals who do the numbers, put together the metrics, assess the various scenarios and work together to essentially make sure that when they allocate investments as a group, that there's a clear insight as to which sectors, which companies, for how long, and of course, making sure that we as clients have our money safe with them. But as you can tell, it's never easy. There's always murky waters to manage. Share your thoughts with us, though.
063-688-0959. Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.